whereby, avoid,
declaration, spymaster, strategic, espionage, passage.
Wild Bill Donovan would have loved the internet. The American spymaster who built the Office of Strategic Services in World War II and later laid the roots for the CIA was fascinated with information. Donovan believed in using whatever tools came to hand in the great game of espionage, spying as a profession. These days, the net, which has already remade such everyday pastimes as buying books and sending mail, is reshaping Donovan's vocation as well.
The last revolution isn't simply a matter of gentlemen reading other gentlemen's email. That kind of electronic spying has been going on for decades. In the past 3 or 4 years, the World Wide Web has given birth to a whole new industry of point-and-click spying. The speakers call it open-source intelligence, and as the net grows, it is becoming increasingly influential. In 1995, the CIA held a contest to see who could compile the most data about Burundi. The winner, by a large margin, was a tiny Virginia company called Open Source Solutions, whose clear advantage was its mastery of the electronic world.
Among the firms making the biggest splash in the new world is Straightforward, Inc., a private intelligence analysis firm based in Austin, Texas. Straightforward makes money by selling the results of spying, covering nations from Chile to Russia, to corporations like energy services firm McDermott International. Many of its predictions are available online at www.straightforward.com.
Straightforward President George Friedman says he sees the online world as a kind of mutually reinforcing tool for both information collection and distribution, a spymaster's dream. Last week, his firm was busy vacuuming up data bits from the far corners of the world and predicting a crisis in Ukraine. As soon as that report runs, we'll suddenly get 500 new internet signups from Ukraine, says Friedman, a former political science professor, and we'll hear back from some of them. Open source spying does have its risks, of course, since it can be difficult to tell good information from bad. That's where Straightforward earns its keep.
Friedman relies on a lean staff of 20 in Austin. Several of his staff members have military intelligence backgrounds. He sees the firm's outsider status as the key to its success. Stratford's briefs don't sound like the usual Washington back and forthing, whereby agencies avoid dramatic declarations on the chance they might be wrong. Stratford says, Friedman takes pride in its independent voice.
Lesson 2. Vocabulary. Statesman.
Rule. Reach. Threaten.
Cruelty. Perplex. Deliberate.
Firm.
Booth. Brochure.
Encourage.
Assure. Epidemic.
Public. Molecular.
Connection. Editor.
Unchallenged. Deceptive.
Ultimate. Community. Recruit. Statement. Extinguish. Paraphrase. Misguided. Biomedical. Allegation. Immunization. Vaccine. Compassionate. Vaccination. Unaware. Misinformation. Stakeholder. Ember.
Passage. To paraphrase 18th century statesman Edmund Burke, all that is needed for the triumph of a misguided cause is that good people do nothing. One such cause now seeks to end biomedical research because of the theory that animals have rights ruling out their use in research. Scientists need to respond forcefully to animal rights advocates His arguments are confusing the public and thereby threatening advances in health knowledge and care. Leaders of the animal rights movement target biomedical research because it depends on public funding, and few people understand the process of healthcare research. Hearing allegations of cruelty to animals in research settings, many are perplexed that anyone would deliberately harm an animal. For example, a grandmotherly woman staffing an animal rights booth at a recent street fair was distributing a brochure that encouraged readers not to use anything that comes from or is tested in animals. No meat, no fur, no medicines. Asked if she opposed immunizations, she wanted to know if vaccines come from animal research. When assured that they do, she replied, "Then I would have to say yes." Asked what will happen when epidemics return, she said, "Don't worry, scientists will find some way of using computers." Such well-meaning people just don't understand. Scientists must communicate their message to the public in a compassionate, understandable way, in human terms, not in the language of molecular biology. We need to make clear the connections between animal research and a grandmother's hip replacement, a father's bypass operation, a baby's vaccinations, and even a pet's shots. To those who are unaware that animal research was needed to produce these treatments, as well as new treatments and vaccines, animal research seems wasteful at best and cruel at worst. Much can be done. Scientists could adopt middle school classes and present their own research. They should be quick to respond to letters to the editor, lest animal rights misinformation go unchallenged and acquire a deceptive appearance of truth. Research institutions could be open to tours to show that laboratory animals receive human care. Finally, because the ultimate stakeholders are patients, the health research community should actively recruit to its cause not only well-known persons. Vocabulary.
Combine. Plate. Carrier. Reduction. Coordinate. Threat. Fierce. Bulk. Grain. Throat. Captive. Appeal. Expensive. Consuming. Case. Discrimination. Position.
Flourish. Despite. Invest. Grip. Super system. Merger. Shipper. Arbiter. Passage.
In recent years, railroads have been combining with each other, merging into super systems, causing heightened concerns about monopoly. As recently as 1995, the top four railroads accounted for under 70% of total ton miles moved by rails. Next year, after a series of mergers is completed, just four railroads will control well over 90% of all the freight moved by major rail carriers. Supporters of the new super systems argue that these mergers will allow for substantial cost reductions and better coordinated service. Any threat of monopoly, they argue, is removed by fierce competition from trucks. But many shippers complain that for heavy bulk commodities traveling long distances, such as coal, chemicals, and grain, trucking is too costly and the railroads, therefore, have them by the throat. The vast consolidation within the rail industry means that most shippers are served by only one rail company.
Railroads typically charge such captive shippers 20 to 30% more than they do when another railroad is competing for the business. Shippers who feel they are being overcharged have the right to appeal to the federal government's Surface Transportation Board for rate relief. But the process is expensive, time-consuming, and will work only in truly extreme cases.
Railroads justify rate discrimination against captive shippers on the grounds that in the long run, it reduces everyone's cost. If railroads charged all customers the same average rate, they argue, shippers who have the option of switching to trucks or other forms of transportation would do so, leaving remaining customers to shoulder the cost of keeping up the line. It's a theory to which many economists subscribe, but in practice, it often leaves railroads in the position of determining which companies will flourish and which will fail. Do we really want railroads to be the arbiters of who wins and who loses in the marketplace? Asks Martin Bervokichi, a Washington lawyer who frequently represents shippers.
Many captive shippers also worry they will soon be hit with a round of huge rate increases. The railroad industry as a whole, despite its frightening fortune, still does not earn enough to cover the cost of capital it must invest to keep up with its surging traffic. Yet, railroads continue to borrow billions to acquire one another, with Wall Street cheering them on. Consider the $10.2 billion bid by Norfolk Southern and CSX to acquire Conrail this year. Conrail's net railway operating income in 1996 was just $427 million, less than half of the carrying costs of the transaction. Who's going to pay for the rest of the bill? Many captive shippers fear that they will, as Norfolk Southern and CSX increase their grip on the market.
Lesson 3. Vocabulary. Inevitable. Optional. Failure. Reality. Perish. Obvious. Frustrate. Willing. Reverse. Scholar. Conclude. Finite. Resource. Sustain, governor, quote, energetic, productive, supreme, justice, surgeon, proof, near, pursuit, therapy, expectancy, cataract, surgical, disintegrate, unsustainable, infirm.
Passage. It is said that in England, death is pressing, in Canada, inevitable, and in California, optional, small wonder. Americans' life expectancy has nearly doubled over the past century. Failing hips can be replaced. Clinical depression controlled, cataracts removed in a 30-minute surgical procedure. Such advances offer the aging population a quality of life that was unimaginable when I entered medicine 50 years ago. But not even a great healthcare system can cure death, and our failure to confront that reality now threatens this greatness of ours. Death is normal. We are genetically programmed to disintegrate and perish, even under ideal conditions. We all understand that at some level, yet as medical consumers, we treat death as a problem to be solved. Shielded by third-party payers from the cost of our care, we demand everything that can possibly be done for us, even if it's useless. The most obvious example is late-stage cancer care. Physicians frustrated by their inability to cure the disease and fearing loss of hope in the patient too often offer aggressive treatment far beyond what is scientifically justified. In 1950, the U.S. spent $12.7 billion on health care. In 2002, the cost will be $154 billion. Anyone can see this trend is unsustainable, yet few seem willing to try to reverse it. Some scholars conclude that a government with finite resources should simply stop paying for medical care that sustains life beyond a certain age, say 83 or so. Former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb has been quoted as saying that the old and infirm have a duty to die and get out of the way so that younger, healthier people can realize their potential. I would not go that far. Energetic people now routinely work through their 60s and beyond and remain dazzlingly productive. At 78, Viacom chairman Sumner Redstone jokingly claims to be 53. Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is in her 70s. And former Surgeon General D. Everett Koop chairs an internet startup in his 80s. These leaders are living proof that prevention works and that we can manage the health problems that come naturally with age. As a mere 68-year-old, I wish to age as productively as they have. Yet there are limits to what a society can spend in this pursuit. Ask a physician. I know the most costly and dramatic measures may be ineffective and painful. I also know that people in Japan and Sweden, countries that spend far less on medical care, have achieved longer, healthier lives than we have. As a nation, we may be overfunding the quest for unlikely cures while underfunding research on humbler therapies that could improve people's lives. Vocabulary. Modify. Peculiar. Systematic. Derive.
Inquiry.
Endeavor. Discipline. Economics. Psychology. Sociology. Focus. Humanity. Orient. Extensive. Comparative. Emphasis. Perspective. Unique. Concept. Define. Complex. Belief. Profound. Simplicity. Abstract. Concrete. Insatiable. Diversity. Harmonious. Anthropology. Logos. Encompass. Dispassion. Formulation. Passage.
Human beings in all times and places think about their world and wonder at their place in it. Humans are thoughtful and creative, possessed of insatiable curiosity. Furthermore, humans have the ability to modify the environment in which they live, thus subjecting all other life forms to their own peculiar ideas and fancies. Therefore, it is important to study humans and all their richness and diversity in a calm and systematic manner, with the hope that the knowledge resulting from such studies can lead humans to a more harmonious way of living themselves and with all other life forms on this planet Earth. Anthropology derives from the Greek words anthropos, human, and logos, the study of. By its very name, anthropology encompasses the study of all mankind. Anthropology is one of the social sciences. Social science is that branch of intellectual inquiry which seeks to study humans and their endeavors in the same reasoned, orderly, systematic, and dispassioned manner that natural scientists use for the study of natural phenomena. Social science disciplines include geography,
economics, political science, psychology, and sociology. Each of these social sciences has a subfield or specialization which lies particularly close to anthropology. All the social sciences focus upon the study of humanity. Anthropology is a field study-oriented discipline which makes extensive use of the comparative method in analysis. The emphasis on data gathered firsthand, combined with a cross-culture perspective brought to the analysis of cultures past and present, makes this study a unique and distinctly important social science. Anthropological analysis rests heavily upon the concept of culture. Sir Edwin Tyler's formulation of the concept of culture was one of the great intellectual achievements of 19th century science. Tyler defined culture as that complex whole which includes belief, art, morals, law, custom, and any other capabilities and habits acquired by man as a member of society. This insight, so profound in its simplicity, opened up an entirely new way of perceiving and understanding human life. Implicit within Tyler's definition is the concept that culture is learned, shared, and patterned behavior. Thus, the anthropological concept of culture, like the concept of set in mathematics, is an abstract concept which makes possible immense amounts of concrete research and understanding. Lesson 4, Vocabulary. Comparison. Dominant. Electronic. Medium. Pamphlet. Periodical. Communication. Transport. Leading. Telegraph. Motion. Process. Recognize. Invention. Integrate. Circuit. Powerful. Institution. Display. Storage. Leisure. View. Outcome. Impact.
Passage. Comparisons were drawn between the development of television in the 20th century and the diffusion of printing in the 15th and 16th centuries. Yet much had happened between. As was discussed before, it was not until the 19th century that the newspaper became the dominant pre-electronic medium, following in the wake of the pamphlet and the book, and in company of the periodical. It was during the same time that the communications revolution speeded up, beginning with transport, the railway, and leading on through the telegraph, the telephone, radio, and motion pictures, into the 20th century world of the motor car and the airplane. Not everyone sees that process in perspective. It is important to do so. It is generally recognized, however, that the introduction of the computer in the late 20th century, followed by the invention of the integrated circuit during the 1960s, radically changed the process, although its impact on the media was not immediately apparent. As time went by, computers became smaller and more powerful, and they became personal too, as well as institutions, with display becoming sharper and storage capacity increasing. They were thought of, like people, in terms of generations, with a distance between generations much smaller. It was within the computer age that the term information society began to be widely used to describe the context within which we now live. The communications revolution has influenced both work and leisure and how we think and feel about place and time, but there have been controversial views about its economic, political, social, and cultural implications. Benefits have been weighed against harmful outcomes, and generalizations have proved difficult. vocabulary, intend, humor, identify, audience, situation, sympathy, comment, convention, accommodation, grab, appropriate, canteen, notorious, resent, system, awkward, humorous, casual, apparent, delivery, twist,
familiar,
inject, secretary, stomp, inedible, disparaging, scapegoat,